We're going to turn our attention to God's Word. So if you need a Bible, there's one on a table right back there by that column. Feel free to get up now and get one. Here at Monroe, we've been using the book Seeking God's Face as our guide this year. Seeking God's Face is a book that has readings in it, daily readings from Scripture and prayers. And we've been using that to journey together, to read the same Scriptures, to allow them to sink into our hearts, to pray similar prayers. Seeking God's Face follows the liturgical calendar, the church calendar. And we are in the season of Epiphany for just a few more days. And the season of Epiphany is the season of light. It's the season of ahas. It's the season of when I get it now. I see clearly. The light has gone on. So today we're going to look at Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38, which is actually the Bible reading for tomorrow. Okay? We're going to look at it today. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35. Father, as we turn our attention to your word to us this morning, call upon your Spirit to be at work. Make your word living and active in our hearts and our minds. Speak to us. Enable us to hear what it is that you have for us this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35. Here we read that Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So people of God, go back with me, about 20 years or so. Go back with me to summer, right? Don't look out the door, right? Don't look out there, but imagine for yourself a sunny June summer day. It's about 85 degrees, maybe even 90, okay? Got that picture in your mind? Blue sky, leaves on the trees, right? And the grass is green and it's hot out. Imagine with me that you're inside of a pickup truck, okay? You're riding in a pickup truck, both windows are down, you're in the passenger side. Okay, now imagine with me, in the back of the pickup truck is lawn equipment. Okay, it's got some mowers back there, you got some trimmers, you got some blowers. All right, this was my life about 20 years ago. All right, and I'm riding the truck with my dad, and we're going to the next lawn account. Okay, and as we're driving, I'm noticing that there's a lot of lawn maintenance companies out there that are doing the same thing that we're trying to do. Everywhere I look, it seems like there's a pickup truck with equipment in the back or a pickup truck with a trailer on it. Everywhere I look, it seems like there are mowers and people cutting grass, lawn maintenance companies, people trying to do the exact same thing that we were trying to do. I said, "Dad, look at all those lawn mowing companies. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do?" What was my dad's response? My dad's response has stuck with me ever since. He said, "That may be so. There may be a lot of lawn maintenance companies out there." He says, "Look at all the grass." Okay? Look at all the grass. "Take a look at all the grass," he says, "that needs to be cut and maintained." So I started looking. I started looking at all the grass and can't see it now, but on a summer day, you start looking around and there is grass everywhere. Once he said this, I had an epiphany moment, an aha moment. My perspective changed from looking at the few lawn maintenance companies to all the grass out there. There's a lot of grass blades in this world. And in our culture, every one of them needs to be manicured and cut on a regular basis. I could see how plentiful it was. There was grass everywhere, just waiting to be cut and maintained. In our text for today, in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew marks a transition for us. He marks a transition for us and for Jesus' words to his disciples. Up until this point, Jesus has been teaching and helping his disciples understand who he is and why he has come. Up until this point in Matthew's gospel and in our Epiphany readings and Seeking God's Face together, Jesus has been primarily doing two things. The first thing that he's been doing is that he's been teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God all about? One of the ways that Jesus did this was through his Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember those readings back in January and early February? The readings taken from Matthew 5 to 7, that Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount. In the sermon, Jesus explained the nature and the content of his kingdom. He explained to his disciples that his kingdom is characterized by things such as peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says. It's characterized by purity. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's characterized by mercy. Blessed are the merciful. It's characterized by righteousness. Doing the right thing at the right time in the right way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus says. It's characterized by forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus says, if you have a grievance against someone, go and be reconciled. It's characterized by honesty. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. It's characterized by love. Love your enemies, Jesus says, and pray for those who persecute you, those people who drive you bonkers. Pray for them, he says. It's characterized, Jesus says, by the Father in heaven's awareness of you. Jesus says, your Father knows who you are. Your Father knows what you need. Your Heavenly Father is not unaware. He is not out in left field. He is not in the dark. He knows you. Jesus says God's kingdom is characterized by prayer. Jesus says, keep on asking. Keep on speaking. Keep on knocking. Jesus teaches the disciples about this kingdom of God. But in addition to this, in addition to helping them understand the nature of his kingdom, the other thing that Jesus has been doing up until this point is teaching them and helping them understand who he is in relation to this kingdom. Namely, that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He's the one that they've been waiting for. He is the Son of God. Tell me this, have you noticed in the readings the miracles and the signs that Jesus has been performing and that he continues to perform? Matthew in his gospel records for us over 10 of these healings, 10 of these miracles in chapters 8 and 9, in the verses just before our text for today. Through these miracles, through these healings, Jesus is demonstrating his authority and his power. He's demonstrating who he is and why he has come to earth. Through these signs, Jesus is helping his disciples
and those that gather around understand that He's the one. He's the one. He's the Messiah. So up until this point, two primary things: who Jesus is and what the kingdom of God is all about. This is what Jesus has been trying to do. Jesus' desire is that His disciples see this clearly. That they know this clearly. That they know it with their head, but they also know it with their heart. He desires that the light goes on. That there's an aha. I see it now. I see it now. So tell me, as you've been reading these readings and seeking God's face, is this becoming clear? Is the person of Jesus Christ becoming clear to you? Is the nature of His kingdom becoming clear? Is the light going on? I hope so. I hope so. Then today, our reading for today, Matthew 9, Jesus begins to open their eyes to something new. A new thing in addition to these other two. And what is that new thing? It's the crowds. It's the crowds. We read that Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching, right? Teaching in the synagogues, teaching about the kingdom, and proclaiming the good news. Proclaiming the good news. And what else? Healing every disease and sickness. Right? So He's continuing to do the other two, right? The proclaiming about the kingdom and also proclaiming about who He is. As He did this day after day, as He taught and as He proclaimed, Jesus also saw the people, the crowds. He saw hundreds and hundreds of people, people who were harassed, people who were helpless, people wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. Everywhere He went, Jesus saw these crowds. Hundreds and hundreds of people everywhere He went. The crowds would be there too. Jesus saw them. The question was, did His disciples see them? Did they see the crowds too? Notice with me the other thing that Matthew notes for us when he talks about Jesus seeing the crowd. He didn't just see them by noting their presence. When he saw them with His heart. Matthew writes, when Jesus saw the crowds, what? He had compassion. The word compassion in this story jumped out at me off the page. He had compassion. The word here literally means to be moved inside your gut. To be moved in your bowels, right? The inner part of who you are. In Jesus' day, the bowels were thought to be the seat of love and piety and pity. Right? You were moved in your gut. And we know what this is all about. Right? We know what it's like to be moved inside of our gut. Right? That pit in your stomach when you're waiting in the ER with your child, wondering if he or she is being okay. Right? We know what that's about. Right? Where does it get us? It gets us here, right? Our guts start to get tied up. We get tense. Why? Why do we get tense in there? Because of our compassion for the one that we love. There's 50 other people in the IR, but we're not. Our guts are not about them, right? It's about the one that we love. That it gets us in here. Our stomachs churn. Right? And we wonder, is it going to be okay? As Jesus went from town to town and you saw the crowds, His heart and His gut ached for these people. Lost, hurting, and wandering people. As He saw people who needed a Savior, as He saw people who were in need of the kingdom of God, as He saw people in need of mercy, people in need of forgiveness, people in need of the grace of God,
As he saw people who were harassed and helpless, he had compassion for them. Compassion for people who are far away from God. Compassion for people who are far away from God. How often is this the church's response to people who are far away from God? People who are far away from God and who are living and acting accordingly. How often is the church, do we respond with compassion to these people, to such people? Often it seems to me that the church is known for its condemnation, its criticism, and its contempt for people who are far away from God and living accordingly. How often are we known for our compassion? Our compassion for people who are harassed, people who are helpless, who are just wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. Forget about the church. What about you? What about me? Forget about everyone else. What is my response? What is my response to people who are far away from God, who are living and acting accordingly? When he saw the crowds, Matthew says, Jesus had compassion on them. And because of this compassion, he wants to make sure that his disciples see the crowds and that they see them with the eyes and with the heart of compassion. So what does Jesus say to them? He says, look, look, the harvest is plentiful. Everywhere you look, the harvest is there, Jesus says. Everywhere you look, there are people who are harassed and helpless, people like sheep without a shepherd. This is the aha moment that Jesus wants for his disciples. He wants them to be able to see the harvest. Do they see all the people who need the good news of the gospel, who need a Savior? Who need to know that Jesus is that Savior? Edward Marquette in his commentary on these verses says that Jesus believed that the masses of humanity around him were ripe and were ready for the gospel. They were ripe and they were ready for the kingdom. They were ripe and they were ready for God to rule their lives rather than someone or something else. There's all kinds of people out there who are ready. The time was ripe, Jesus says. The harvest is plentiful. It's not small. It's plentiful. Tell me this morning, do you believe Jesus when he says that the harvest is plentiful? Do we believe that? Do we know anybody that's part of that harvest? Do we know anybody that's far away from God right now or who needs Jesus in their life? Who needs the kingdom of God in their life? Who needs grace and forgiveness? Do we know anybody? Do we see them? Do we see the harvest? Earlier this week when I asked myself, do I see the harvest? Do I see it? Do I see people around me who are harassed and who are helpless? Do I know anyone who needs to hear the good news of the gospel? Do I know anyone who hasn't embraced Jesus as Lord of their life? Do I have family members? Do I have neighbors? Do I have coworkers? Do I have friends who I may not know or who I don't know if they know Jesus the way I know him? And Jesus says, sure you do. How about your uncles? You've got uncles who could use Jesus in their life, who could use the kingdom of God in their heart. You've got cousins. You've got cousins who are far away from God today. You've got neighbors. You don't know all about your neighbors. You've got people living up and down your street.
Jesus allowed me to realize and allowed me to see, right? I have a handful of people in my own neighborhood, on my own block, right, whom I don't know the answer if they know Jesus the way I do. Co-workers. I work with Pastor Amy. I know she knows Jesus, right? But this building, we're connected to a building here. 50-plus people work in this building. I don't know all of them. I don't know if they know Jesus. God says, do you see the harvest? It's plentiful. It's right here. It's right here. I work with them each and every day. Friends. Do I have any friends? Sure I do. I've got one friend who could really use the good news of the gospel right now. He's hurting. I know he is. I know he's searching for something. I've been trying to connect with him. It hasn't happened yet, but I know. I know he needs some mercy and he needs some grace and he needs some forgiveness in his life. I'm waiting for that conversation to happen. So what about you? Who are these people in your life? Who are the people in your circle of influence who are part of the harvest? Do you see them? Do you know who they are? Family members, co-workers, neighbors, friends. Could you name them? If I asked you this morning right now, what are their names? Could you shout out their first name? Do you see them? Who are they? People in my life, Mike, Tim, Jose. How about in your life? Who are they? What are their names? Do you know? If you do, shout them out. Do you see them? What are their names? Shout them out. Do you see them? What are their names? Shout them out. Do you see them? What are their names? Shout them out. Who are they? Do you see them? What are their names? Shout them out. Do you see them? What are their names? Shout them out. Have you been listening? Do you see them? What are their names? Shout them out. Who are they? I heard quite a few names. What does Jesus say? He says, the harvest is plentiful. Right? The harvest is plentiful. But then he goes on, and what does he say? But the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is not small, the harvest is large. Small thing is the workers, people who are willing to go out and harvest the field. People who are willing to make time, people who are willing to speak, people who are willing to pray, people who are willing to make time to step out, to step forward, to step into, to sit down, to listen. Therefore, what does Jesus do? He does two things. First, Jesus commands the disciples to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Ask the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. The problem is not the harvest. Right? The harvest is there. It's ready and waiting. The problem, Jesus says, is we need workers. Were you paying attention when the apples came ripe and were ready for picking this past fall?
you remember reading some articles? I remember reading some articles. Right? The problem wasn't the apples. There were all kinds of apples. There were apples coming out of farmers' ears and off the trees. There were so many apples this year because there were no apples the year before, right? What was the problem? It's the workers couldn't find people to harvest those apples, so they sat on the tree or they fell to the ground. Same is true here. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, Jesus says, ask. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Pray. Call upon God to raise up workers. Once you see it, pray, Jesus says. Pray, pray, pray. Second thing Jesus does, he sends his disciples out. When you get home, I want you to read Matthew 10, the verses that follow this section. In those verses, Jesus begins sending his disciples out into that harvest. What are they doing? They're proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior, and that His kingdom is here. That's what they do. This is Jesus. This is His kingdom. He sends them out. Two things. Pray. And He sends them out. Pray. And He sends them out. People of God, Jesus says to us today, the harvest is plentiful. It's all around us. Just like the grass that's buried under 2 feet of snow. Right? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Do you see it? Do you see it this morning? Who are those people in your life? Where is the harvest in your life? Jesus says, pray for those people. Pray for that harvest. Pray about what your role is. Pray about what your role is as a worker in regards to this harvest. I was talking to a friend earlier this week, and he says, Jesus calls us not only to pray for more workers, but because His Holy Spirit is in each of us as followers, we who follow Jesus have the Spirit, we are part of the more workers. We are those workers. Workers who testify about Jesus 24/7. So let's ask Jesus, he says. Let's ask Jesus right now for wisdom for how to do that. Pray with me this morning. Lord of the harvest, we hear this morning that the harvest is ready and that it's big. Lord, we hear that the harvest is ready and that it's big. But where are your workers, O Lord? Where are your workers, O Lord? How will people hear the good news of the kingdom unless someone is sent? How will they hear unless someone is sent? Today, Lord, this morning, we pray that your kingdom of grace may be advanced. Today, this morning, we pray that we may have a Christ-like compassion. A compassion that would break our own hearts and lead us to be the answer to this very prayer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. To respond to God's word to us this morning, we're going to, worship team is going to be playing a new song. And as they play, somewhere on a seat nearby you is a sheet that should look something like this. Maybe to your leg or to your left, in front or behind. This morning I would like you to answer the question that is on the top. We verbalize some names. As the worship team sings, I want you to begin to write some names down. People that you know who are part of the harvest. Jesus wants us to see them. Not just see them with our eyes, but to see them
with our heart, with that heart, right, with our guts, with the heart of compassion. I invite you to begin to write names down and to take this with you and put it on the mirror or put it on your fridge or put it in your seeking God's face. What does Jesus say? He says to pray for the harvest and to pray for workers. Easter is coming up in a few weeks. Who do you know who needs to hear the message of Easter? Who do you know who needs to know and hear about Jesus? The Jesus that we're learning about. Right? The Jesus that is being revealed to us. Who do you know? Write them down. Pray for them. Ask God to open up your heart, to open up your day planner, to open up your time for these people. Spend some time in response and then join in singing when you're ready.